بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما أنت أهله وفعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك ونعوذ بمعافاتك من عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. There are certain times in the madrasa where when we sit with students we have a daras of ahadith. So it is different from a bayan. Everyone is much more relaxed. It is just the explanation of a few of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a desire from Almighty Allah that because the words of His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being explained, then a certain unique mercy falls on the entire gathering, that every single individual becomes known as a talib, as a student of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what better time, like a night like tonight, on such a Mubarak night, which is the 15th, and it is the night of Jumu'ah. So there will be a few ahadith that I will explain. This is a daras of hadith. The normal laws of bayanat, normally I don't ever have it, but whenever we have like a daras, then it's even less. Whatever comes to the heart, we mention. May Allah Tabarakala make it beneficial for all. The first that came in my mind, just when the salah was taking place, what should be mentioned regarding the times that we see in front of us. This is a very famous hadith, but what came in my mind, I will now make mention of that. There was a time when in Islam there was no wealth. Sahaba radiallahu anhum lived very difficult days. Those that had wealth in Makkah Mukarramah, when they made hijrat, the little that they thought that they will take, little. Because in hijrat is whatever you can carry, you're going to take. So Suhaib Rumi radiallahu an, he looked at what is the most like precious, what he can take. So that he loaded on his animal. He said, once I reach Medina Munawwara, at least I got this, with this my work will get done. And the remaining whatever he had earned in his life, he had to leave it somewhere, so he buried it. With the hope that one day if we return to Makkah Mukarramah, I'll get this also. And that was all that he's gone with. As he's leaving Makkah Mukarramah, he's surrounded. So then he says to those people that either we're going to fight, and I will fight till the ending, many of you will die. Whatever is valuable in my life, it's on the animal. I will take it, I'll leave it down, let me go. So someone said that you came to our land very wealthy. You came to the land without anything, you became very wealthy. Now you want to take your wealth. So he said, I'll give you whatever's on the animal. But they were still not happy. So thereafter he said, okay, I promise you, whatever I have buried, which no one can find, I'll give you that also. I will tell you where the place is, I will not lie. But you have to then promise I'm allowed to go. So to narrate it, it's very easy today because we will say like, what a bargain, like, oh, he got a chance for hijrat. But in that time, you have to understand that it's a man who had wealth. And he divided his wealth into two parts. One I will take now and I really need. And the one that's going to stay behind. And then he reaches a point before leaving Makkah Mukarramah that everything is gone. Everything. And he gave it. When he reached Medina Munawwara, he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As soon as Abu Bakr saw him, he said, Suhaib, what a deal you made. He was a businessman. He said, what a deal. So for him, like on the journey, there was no business that took place. He said, what deal are you talking about? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu laughed and he said, I will not speak, let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak. When he came there, he said, what a deal. He said, what deal? He said, Jibreel alayhi salam ordered me or said to me to say, what a deal you made with Allah. What a deal. But at that time when he saw that wealth going, normally no one will think it's a deal. Like, what a deal. Sometimes in our life when we see our beloved going, you saw a child passing away, and you wondered that why did Allah take the child away? So the same will be that why did Allah take Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu's wealth away? No one knew it was there. Had Allah wanted, he could have gone for the hijrat, no one would have seen, no one. But sometimes Almighty Allah with me and you want to do business. Sometimes Almighty Allah with me and you wants to do business. The problem is when it is big business, small business we're all ready for. Small business. The person according to what he can take that risk, he'll just push little but higher. That if it doesn't go well, I know I got something behind to help me out. But if someone comes to you and he speaks of big business, then immediately we pull back. Almighty Allah in His kindness sometimes likes to do very big business. But it is known that the slave will never be ready to sign the contract. Because when we look at what's the requirements, we become very scared. During those times, Almighty Allah in His kindness on behalf of us, He Himself signs it. This is what we sometimes call, why did this happen? And by Almighty Allah, it is because Allah wants to pay you back tomorrow a lot. But for you to get paid lot there, little has to be given here. But whatever it was, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu reached Medina Munawwara, it was very difficult days. And they earned, and as the ending of the time came, they were just seeing prophets, another battle took place. They were just seeing the crops coming up, again they had to go for battle. So it was like this day in, day out. And at the ending of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some wealth started coming in. They began conquering the lands of the Yahud, the Jews. So a lot of gardens came, a lot of forts came, a lot of wealth came. That's when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this announcement. Imam Bukhari rahimullah narrates, when the first wealth of Bahrain, a treaty had been made, once a year they will pay so much. The first wealth of Bahrain came. So it was the time of the Fajr Salah. Normally for Fajr, people would read the Salah in their own masajid. Jummah they would all come to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that day, Fajr time, everyone was there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the salam, and then he turned and the masjid was much, much more bigger than normal. So he smiled. And he said that it seems some news have reached you people. Because who would come here Fajr time? Like? He said some news. So every Sahabi looked down with a slight grin like, what brought you all here? No elan was made. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't ever worry. I'm not going to forget anyone. Like, everyone share. He said, I have so much by me which is going to make everyone happy. Everyone. After he made them happy, you're going to get lot. That's when he then mentioned these things. One time he mentioned on that occasion, he said, oh my Sahaba, it is not poverty that I fear for you people. So one is poverty. One is sometimes difficulty. Difficulty like what we saw, whether we said it was the corona time, or whether it saw that businesses during that time were hard hit, or whether people saw the riots and then sometimes the businesses collapsed. And it was called difficulty. And normally I'll say, I fear difficulty coming. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqr means poverty, which is something that I don't want my child to ever see. What a thing he said on that day. He said, it is not poverty that I fear for you. He said, rather I fear that time which will come, when the world will open up to you, and tubsata alaykum ad-dunya, when bust of the world will take place. So this is what I want to explain now. One meaning of bust of this world was what was understood on that occasion, that a lot of wealth will come to you. He said, when that will happen, you will begin competing for that wealth. That will be the A and Z of your life. I need more, I need more. Not only I need more because my needs are more. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا. You will only want more so that you can have more than somebody else. It will not be a need will be there. I just must have the most. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا. Said you will begin competing in it. Like how the people before you did the same. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ. And then that very world which will open up, which you were making so much dua, Allah, open up for me now my difficulty, remove the difficulty, remove the difficulty. He said, I fear if it removes, that very world which will open will destroy you, like how it destroyed the people in the past. I want to explain to you this word bust now. One is that a lot of wealth will come. That's one meaning of bust. Bust means something to open up. We reached a stage in the last 7 years that even for that man who no extra money came in his wallet, because of the coming of the phone, the entire world opened up to him. Once upon a time, if someone had to go for Hajj, when that man came back, the whole village would run to say, Uncle, Uncle, tell us what you saw on your journey. Because the world was closed for everyone. And the rich man was the man making the journey. Rich man. We saw in the last few years bust of this world in a manner that no one ever saw it. The world opened up where America came in my hands and the woman of America. London and the people of London. The buildings, the towers. I can go into the building. I can pay a price on the computer. I can tour the entire thing. The world has opened up in front. And we are on a verge of seeing something that perhaps from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, no one ever experienced. What they today call metaverse. That another universe, that small world now becomes huge. And whatever problem is in this world of ours doesn't exist in that world. That is also called bastu dunya. Where the world opens up so much that the man is sitting in his small room. But in that room he's the owner of gardens and gardens and gardens. He just sits and he's seeing the greenery carrying on, carrying on, carrying on. At that time how he will smile and he will say, what is this? On that, what is this? This warning must come. That, oh my Sahaba, I fear the day when bust of the world takes place. When the world will open up so much that your entire purpose in life will just be more, more, more. And like how it destroyed others, it will destroy you. This bust will take place in two ways. One is in the real way. That there is real money. And real money is coming to many. And when real money comes, a new life comes. A person is studying. He's just making ends meet. Somebody else comes and helps him in the shop. He says, must I help you, my son? He gets so happy. Because that extra 500, 1000 means a lot. Immediately he says, the day I graduate, when Allah will give me the world, I'll go looking for the people who need help. But the day when that door opens and all that wealth comes, immediately he says, wait, 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 first I need to purchase that. After I'm finished with that day, then I'll think about those people. He's just busy paying off that one. He hasn't even paid it off. Immediately he sees one car going past. He says, I need that car. That's the car I need. The car is changed. The wife, she's not going to be kept behind. I also need something. And as the world opened, destruction also started. And where the man thought that when it will open, my Jannah will open, it was now Jahannam said, now I'm waiting, come. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen the history of the people of the past. He saw very few of them survived when bust of the world took place. He was worried that the people of this world must not fall. We will always think somebody else got so much of wealth. Look at his life, what he did with his wealth. What he's doing with billions and billions. It was said to every individual, you also walking that path. The world has opened for all of us. One with real wealth. One is in the fake world, which is more real than the real world. It is called the world of the computer, the world of the phone, the world of the metaverse. It is a lie, but it is so real that the individual who's going inside, after he puts it on and he says, I'll only be on it for half an hour. But because it's so entertaining, half an hour will become 3 hours. Maghrib and Isha both will go in it. A man said, my sleep is the most important thing in my life. But when that world opens up, he'll put it on at night and he will carry on till the morning. Sleep will go away. His family will go away. As they were experimenting with this thing in one country, husband and wife, both of them were arrested. They were arrested because their child died out of hunger. The baby cried, cried, cried and died. The mother and father both did not hear the child. They were busy in another open world. The amazing thing was when the judge asked them, what were you all doing? Like, how could you not hear your child crying? So they explained that we were in a world where we had a child. And me and my husband were looking after that child. Looking after the false child, they forgot the cries of the real child. That was when it was in the experiment stage. Me and you are going to see bust-e dunya. This world will open up. We might have always thought South Africa, inshallah, will be the last for it to open. Because our internet speed will never be so fast. But it will not be like that. In COVID, where everything else was going slowly, work on the internet was carrying on very fast. It will be a question you can ask later on, that how in that last 2 years when everything got stuck, how did South Africa manage to keep up? That when the new world will start, we're already ready for it. A lot of work was taking place around the world, that we want to now open for you the world. You can be a small child, 5-year-old, but there will be no age restriction. For you, the world is open. You can go where you want. You can see what you want. And you can be that old man in the house whose grandchildren just came and said, Dada, Dada, big night tonight, make dua for us, please, Dada. And you say, I'll definitely make dua. And you're waiting for them to get out. As soon as they get out, you close the door. And then again, you put it on. Because it's so entertaining that even 15 Shaban now means nothing to anyone. Ramadan means nothing to anyone. In one world, and everything forgotten. When this world opens up to people in both ways, a lot of people make many mistakes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, so this is the one hadith, and then the second I will mention the opposite, I will give a slight explanation. And again we will say that the demand is that we don't make that mistake that led to the destruction of the people of the past. The hadith regarding what we gathered for here today, Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتِ. That during the days that will pass, in one narration it comes, أُطْلُبُ الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ. Every day, look for that opportunity. Every day, there will be a chance where someone is walking past and you can help him. Help him. Because you are not helping him, you are helping yourself. He said, search every day for that opportunity. But then he said, that for your Allah, there are those special moments. نَفَحَات. There are those special moments. فَتَعَرَّدُوا لَهَا. I want you to jump for the moment. Jump for the moment is like what we came here now. Our coming in the small gap between Maghrib and Isha on such a night, 15th of Shaban being on a Thursday, it is such a moment that I got and you got. He said, فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. Put yourself front. لَعَلَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن تُصِيبَهُ مِنْهَا نَفْحَةٌ. Perhaps one of that winds of Almighty Allah's mercy will hit you. لَا يَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبْدًا. After which that man will never become wretched. Again, verily for your Allah, there are those special moments, we'll say those winds that blow. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. Put yourself forward. لَعَلَّ أَحَدَكُمْ. Perhaps one of you, if one of those winds, breezes have to hit him, لَا يَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. After that he will never ever become wretched. So immediately every one of us in our heart, we say, Allah, I came. And indeed your wind is definitely blowing. So how can it happen that it doesn't hit me? Say, Allah, allow it to hit me very hard. Because I am entering a time when the world is going to open. An open world has destroyed many people. I don't want to get destroyed in the future. So close I am to the end. So close. This is not the time for a person to say, I lost it at the ending. Pornography will open. Relations between boy and boy, girl and girl is going to open. Things are going to open in a very big manner. Bust of dunya, there'll be no restrictions. There'll be no laws. There will be no, how can you do this? Every child will have his freedom. Every husband will say to the wife, leave me alone. Every wife will say to the husband, don't tell me what to do. Open the world. Holiday will come, the husband says, I'm going for Umrah. The wife says, no problem, go. But for her, the closed wall is no more closed. She's also going. Either she's in her house going for holiday, or she's going in the car for holiday, or she's going in the aeroplane for holiday. We got the open world in front. You say, Allah, let that moment hit me, that wind. That when the world opens up to everyone, the special breeze of yours must make sure I don't fall into Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, during those times when that wind blows, سَلُلَّهَ أَن يَسْتُرَ عَوْرَاتِكُمْ. During that time, ask Allah that your faults, he must make a satr over it. What a unique thing. To say that I know you, my ummah. None of you, I'm not pious, you not pious. But if Allah wants and he wants to expose, then a lot of things will get exposed. He said, on that time when that breeze is coming, one dua make, that Allah, my faults, do not expose it to the world. Salullah ay yastura awratikum. Everyone say Ameen. Wa ay yu'ammina rawatikum. He said, second dua you will make when that wind will blow, that Allah, my heart, keep it in peace, keep it protected. Let me not see things in the future that break me. I'm only worried about my business mustn't see something that breaks, that itself finished us. We are more worried about, I am more worried about, more than the business and the riots on the business. Allah save us all. But when the world opens up, they become riots in the house itself. Already the world is seeing, the Muslim world, where in one house, the child is caught on the phone, that itself is terrible. But when they're catching him on the phone, that he is involved with someone of the same. That mother and father don't know how to approach the boy. Now they are emailing or asking, that is it allowed to keep the son in my house? Because I understood he's at the moment joined with somebody else of his own. He's a danger for the other children in the house. The father wants to say, I want you out of the house. The question is, if he goes out, where does he go? At that time, there's no answer. No answer. Had it been a boy and he had met a girl, you would have said, get your son married. Here we cannot even say, get the girl married or get the boy married. We have to say, you can't get this child married because he will spoil somebody else's life. At that time, that heart is confused. He says, during such moments, say, Allah, let my heart never see fear. Let it never see break. وَأَيُّ أَمِّنَ رَوْعَاتِكُمْ One is my own faults, Allah, continue making satr. One is my heart, Allah, let it not break. Let it not collapse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, on another occasion he mentioned, and now the bayan will veer on to this, that we grabbed this opportunity. What a time. You will lift up your hands now, we will make dua and ask for Lord. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then also said the opposite also sometimes happens. That there are those moments which are passing where something happens and we gather one person's curse. He said, اتقوا اللاعنين. He said, be aware, stay far from the two things that curse a person. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, what are those things that curse? Look how small it was. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man is in walking and he got a desire now to relieve himself. So remember in the Arab lands, everywhere it is heat. When the man is traveling, he's waiting for that tree. When they see the tree from front far, they think, is it a mirage? When they are sure, they become so happy, a tree. He said, you go, you want to relieve yourself. And that individual, he goes to the tree. In the shade, he relieves himself. And he's not bothered about it because there's no one around. Or on the path of people, he relieves himself. And he carries on. What will happen later on? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm warning you from two things which will curse you. One is that shade. One is that path. How the path is going to curse? What was meant is later on one man will be coming. That man is in need of shade. Very in need of shade. You call it now you destitute. His heart is broken. And a broken heart between it and the arsh of Allah, there's no gaps. That broken heart finds that tree. So he pushes his animal little bit further, and as soon as he comes to the tree, and he sees somebody else's dirt. And he just sits. And he can't sit there. At that time, his tongue doesn't have to move. And he doesn't need to know who did this. From his heart, that anger that comes out is called a curse. That anger goes up to the arsh. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a curse is made, the heavens do not accept it. The sky is just closed, that we don't want this touching here. It reaches the top and it comes back down like a missile. And then it starts searching for the individual who caused that thing to happen. If it comes to him and he is guilty, then it will bang through him. It will bang in a manner that he will always tell the alim, I don't know what's happening, everything in my life is right. You say, maybe your business is right. This is right, that is right. But the missile came from somewhere else, maybe another country. Tonight make an intention that, and make this dua, Allah, let it not ever happen that I grab the curse of someone. When that curse has to hit, it can hit after years. Shaykh Ali Tantawi, rahimullah, was a qadi also of his time, a very great scholar. So near the end of his life, someone told him, you saw a lot of experiences, why don't you pen down some unique ones? So he said, thinking about some unique, he said, looking at his files, he found this one. He said, this one I will write it and you will read it. You will say, no man, this one is made up. It can't happen. He said, how it is that sometimes the true story is even more amazing than a novel also. He said, this is true from the beginning till the end. He said, we were driving and one car overtook us. It was about 1983. The car overtook, driving at a very fast, it was a brand new Chevrolet, and he was in his small car. And he saw that, and he saw the people in the car, they were excited and someone was laughing. And he said, we're looking at that car as it's swerving past the other cars. You thought, only in South Africa they drive like that. That Zamana in Beirut. As he's driving, then there was one truck which was going to turn. And as it was going to make its turn, he thought that he will manage to get past it before it makes the turn, instead of making that stop. He said, we saw as it made that turn, it was just a touch. And it hit that car and we saw it going off the cliff. So it rolled like a ball, he said, I saw. We stopped the cars, many cars stopped. We began climbing, it took us about 15, 20 minutes, we came to the bottom. He said, I was amazed when I reached the bottom. I saw the people who were there were alive. They were alive. He said, there were small children, about 3 small children, 2 very small children and 1 girl, also small, and there was 1 woman who was also dazed. And then besides them, there were in the car a man, and an old woman, another old woman, and another old man. So 4 in the car, he said, they were like finished. Their body was made into pieces, and these ones, we pulled them out, and they were like, okay. When normally the child's supposed to die first. So I waited, others went away, the police came, the ambulance came, everything happened. Because I was a judge, he said, I had a lot of interest in cases. So because I was there, I followed up after a while. What was this thing? Who were these people? He said, when the news reached me and the whole thing came in front after a while, he said, from my inside I just said, La ilaha illallah. He said, Allah, indeed, you are the owner of justice. He said, you are the owner of justice. And then he writes the incident. He said, the incident began with a young girl. She was about 16 or 17 when the proposal came. Father felt she was too young, but the family pushed. They wanted that girl. They wanted that girl. He promised, I will look after her like my daughter, and they took her in. She was from a wealthy family and her father gave it to her all. But when she came into this new family, in the new family she found that there was the father's sister. Because she had never married in her life, so she never knew what it is to be married. It seems, he says, that because she never saw the joy of marriage, she never wanted or could not understand somebody else getting that joy. So the husband, there was no problem with the husband at the beginning. He loved his wife. But because he was under his father's rule, he said the father of the house had an iron fist. That fist would only melt in front of his wife. He said the wife of the house, they had a lot of wealth, but she was stingy. So her principle in life is we have to save for a rainy day. He said, but the rainy day was never ever coming. In that house, he says the news that he later on got was that even if they bought something, they would keep it in the cupboard. And only when it was going off would it then be served to the guests. Whenever she had to let money go, it was very hard for that woman. So the girl came in that. They were not going to think about getting her a helper. She was the woman to do all the work. So dishes was now hers. He says they would not allow that geyser to stay on because it was too expensive. So she would use cold water to wash the dishes. I'm sure when me and you are hearing this already, we say, I wish I could finish that family up. But we're not worried of that family because Allah takes revenge. Me and you must think, in our lives we must not do anything that even though I feel I'm okay, I'm right, but I'm breaking somebody else's heart. They all felt they were right. No one was wrong. Everyone felt they were right. But by Allah, there's another court case. We will never know who's right, who's wrong. But at least work for the best. Try never to be the zalim. Rather be the oppressed. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, Oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you telling me I mustn't shout. But do you know how much he's stealing? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what an answer he gave. He said, on the day of Qiyamah, the scales will be put up. And his treachery and his stealing and all the problems will be put on one side. He said, and your swearing and your shouting and your taunting will be put on the other side. He said, if the scales are equal, then you got no problem. He said, but if it happens yours was more than his, he said, then the fire will come looking for you. What answer you will give on that? He said, Allah's Nabi, then I rather free him. Like, why have that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, better for you. And if you can't manage it, don't oppress. Don't swear, don't scream, don't be evil. Because there's another court case taking place today which could wipe out all our 15 Shabans. All. He said, the girl entered in the house, it was difficult days, but she never complained. They never allowed her to go to her parents unless she was with the husband or she was with her aunt, the aunt. Again, it might not happen, but it might. Many of the people who never ever understood what marriage of the new generation is. I was not there in the old generation, so I don't know what marriage was in that time. But in our generation, I can tell you one thing. If someone gets married, then husband and wife want to be left alone. If they're going out for 3 days also, they don't want during the 3 days the mother or the father to phone. And while they are there, the parent is speaking more than the man can speak with his wife. So it's 9:30 at night and the phone call comes and mother says, what you doing? What is he supposed to be doing? That's why he went there. What is he going to say? Now she will talk and talk and talk and that poor girl is just waiting. They come back to the house. The father says, you're going somewhere. Where are you going? Weekend, they take us with. You can't go with. They have to be given their own freedom. They only got a few days of being young. Then they will become old like me and you. Then when they will go, they want to go for coffee and tea. Then they'll take you with also. But at the beginning, allow your children when they get married, their freedom. Do not be so that I must be with you wherever you go. So this family never let her go anywhere with the husband. To such an extent in the house, the old auntie would always be behind. It was so hard in the last parts of the night, now she's coming out of the room, but she's still talking, because she had no husband. And then whenever she would see the nephew getting closer to his wife, then she told him that never ever become soft. If you become soft, they will take over. So he started acting hard. And it was really finishing this girl up. But she made sabr and she made sabr, carrying on. And then the news came that she's pregnant. It was supposed to be a day of joy, but they were so stingy at that time that the thought came to them that when the child will come, are we ready for that burden? And the auntie already told them the boy is not happy with her. It wasn't going to be happy now because she's only crying. So they decided, let her go. But the question is, how can we let her go? Because when the marriage took place, the mehr was set. So one, there was 10,000 Syrian pounds that had to be given immediately. And then there was another 10,000 Syrian pounds which was called credit. It was a high mehr because the top girl. And they agreed to it. But now the 10,000 said, if you're going to divorce, the father is going to say, you never paid this money. So he said, we can't. So now they made a plan. What is the plan? We have to get her somehow to sign that we paid her. One was what we call like a jahez, trousseau. They gave a big mehr, but they never give it all. The girl's father gave her a lot of furniture. They went, they said, no, you don't give the furniture, we will choose. So they went to the shops, they bought everything, he had to pay it, but everything was on their name. So that they were not worried about, because it's on our name. They had a brand new house, but it was all hers. But even that 10,000 they were going to save, 10,000. So suddenly they became nice to her for a few days, nice. And then they began telling her, you know, you're the only educated one in the family, and many times our letters come, we got no one to like sign it. And she was too happy, they were acting nice with her, and now and then letters are coming. Before that, no letters were coming, and she's signing, and it's getting on, received, received. And one day when she's busy on the dishes, and the auntie comes, says, quickly sign here. So she says, just wait a while, and I can at least wash my hands. So no, just sign quickly. And she never had a chance to even open it. And what was it? It was the signature to show that I received all my dowry. When people love this world, they'll do anything. But they forgot there's another court. For money, you can do what you want, but there's another court. Wherever it is, let money not being the driving force. By the fadl of Allah, during this COVID time, we saw how doctors gave their lives, how they took their time out, how they hit late in the nights. They were not worried of money at all. They were not coming and saying the bill will be so much. There was no talks. They were running to this place. It was just helping here, helping here. During that time, whichever doctor made that walk, I think he bought his Jannah on that time. But now when that problems came to an end, now everything settled down, even in the doctor fraternity, it must never happen that to see to a sick person also becomes a job. That it is just money-making scheme. So one person came in, but he's not a patient anymore. In COVID, he was a patient. But now he's not a patient. Now he's called a client. He's not fit to be a client, that person. He got drops on his body. He's half dying. Anywhere else you want to make money in the world, make it. But don't ever make it with a dying person. And normally it would never happen in the world, because the dying person would say, doctor, I got no money. Doctor say, don't worry of money, I'll help you. But when the dying person comes with a medical aid card, then the dying person is called you, the client. That's the man paying. He says, you don't worry of anything, just relax. But that poor person doesn't want to relax. Never let money be the driving thing in anything in our life. Especially when the individual in front, the heart is already broken. You want to make money in the world, do top business. But don't ever do it with a sick person. Don't ever do it with a young girl. Don't ever do it with inheritance. You are the brother, you are the big brother. The father is sick. You say, daddy, don't worry, sign here, sign here, sign here. I'll make sure my sisters get. Don't ever make your money on the expense of a broken heart. Because that heart will make one scream, and every 15 Shaban of yours will say zero to you. That missile will come from somewhere to track you down. They made her sign it. Then again they began acting. Now we had to act so hard that she will run from this house. Finally, she had to run. When she came home, her father shouted her that we do not ever do things like this. Daddy, and she explained her whole story. The father broke down. He said, you never told us. And the father said, my daughter, you don't have to go back. I'll look after you. Stay here. Then he contacted the family. Then he said, but you'll never pay the mehr. Then they brought the papers. The girl looked at it. She said, daddy, this was a signature. I never even know. He said, even the money you're not giving her. He said, you took my daughter, you took her izzat, you took even that wealth, all that furniture. He said, all that I gave, they said, here's the papers, everything was on the name. He went to the court. They fought it in court. He lost the case because everything had a signature. At the end of the case, his lawyer was a top lawyer, came and told him, let's go again to the courts. He said that, you know what, the judge was he was just, and you were a good lawyer. But the proof is all with them. He said, however, the judges of this world, they are forced to rule according to what's in front of them. He said, and there's another judge who knows the reality of everything. He said, I have put my case by that judge. The girl was born, the father looked after, she reached the age of 9. Mother looked after, they forgot the family. At the age of 9, that family came back again. Because the normal law is when the girl now reaches that age, if the father wants custody, he can take. But this man never wanted that child. Just to make this girl cry again, the mother, he forced that now the child is ours. And that mother on that last day when she hugged that girl, that man who took away my entire happiness, now he's taking away one child also. He says, that was the day we saw the car. They had picked up the girl and they saw the family. They saw that mother crying. And this man said, I wanted to show you a point. That's all. He put that girl in the car. He had remarried. There was another two small children in that marriage. So there was those two small, his new wife, him. And then it was his old mother, his old father, and that old auntie, and they were enjoying the drive. And because he was so thrilled, he showed his point. After 9 years, he drove in that manner. And he said, I'll pass that, and then Allah made it that the truck hit. He says, when I went down, I saw who was innocent. The new wife had nothing to do with it, she came out. She said, the two small children had nothing to do with it, they came out. Said that 9-year-old girl was going to go back to her mother. He said, as for the four who thought they can get away with murder in this world, they forgot that there's another court taking place there. Then he ended off with this thing. And he says, and if the court of that world doesn't grab you here, then I'm warning you, it's going to grab you there. On this night, all of us, we'll make a dua, Allah, my own uyub, my own faults, do not expose it. And it spoils me and everything. Number two, my heart, Allah, let it not collapse. And number three, let me never do anything, whether it's in the love of this world or just of negligence or just of evil nature, that brings upon me the curse of somebody else. Because wherever I can be, that Messiah will then find me. May Allah tabarak ta'ala on this night let that wind now flow.
وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.